She just stopped singing. Ernesto, Maria's husband, was a thin, yellowish man with a wisp of a mustache. He wiped at his face as we sat in the back of his old Ford. "That's what she liked to do best," he went on, talking to himself as much as to the rest of us. "Singing and sometimes dancing, even when there wasn't any music." Maria Esteban was only 38 when she died, when she stopped singing. She was my cousin and had taken care of me after my mother died. Once we had been close. She had let me do her hair sometimes and laughed when I messed it up. Then we had grown apart, or maybe had both begun to withdraw into ourselves, the way poor people seem to do more and more. I remembered her singing as we walked down Fox Street to our little house. I didn't remember her stopping her songs. The pickup truck and the three cars that made up the small funeral procession moved slowly down Moshaloo Parkway toward Van Cortlandt Park. "She always used to sing. I should have known," Ernesto said, more to himself than to anyone else. "I should have known." It was getting harder to tell when people were going to die. There weren't many warning signs. Sometimes a slight cough into a handkerchief, perhaps a distant look in the eyes, but mostly it was just a turning inward. They had simply given up on life. They had forgotten their songs. When I saw someone giving up, I wondered if one day I would give up too. The casket was in the back of the pickup truck. It looked like metal, but I knew it was corrugated cardboard. Around it were a few sad flowers, pictures cut out from religious calendars and framed, and candles. Yes, and signs printed out in magic marker that read, "Rest in peace," or "We love you, Maria." Old people said that Van Cortlandt Park had been a happy place once. There had been picnics and children playing and families everywhere. I couldn't imagine it. Now, it was just a dreary place, a place where we went to dispose of the dead. Our little convoy stopped, and two men, I thought they were probably from St. Athanasius, Maria's church, took the casket from the truck and placed it on the concrete platform in front of the old band shell. Even before the priest got there, the two men had begun to pour water into the openings at the foot and the head of the casket. Biocremation took only 20 minutes if everything went right. Oxygen-infused potassium hydroxide lined the casket. The water was poured in, and in seconds, the body would begin to decompose. We wanted to honor Maria Esteban, but no one wanted to be away from our neighborhood for too long. It wasn't safe. I had read historical accounts of bodies cremated by burning. It would have been better, I thought. We could have seen the flames rising to the heavens. We could have pretended the body was going to someplace called heaven. A priest was praying in Spanish for Maria's soul, while another man, short, square, baggy pants, held a shotgun as he nervously looked around for any favelos, roaming gangs who might be in the area. Then the priest's prayer was over, and the dead woman's neighbors were getting into their cars. The city would send their crews to clean up the final remains of my cousin. I watched as tiny birds made black silhouettes against the steel gray sky.
"Dahlia, it's time to go."
Alfredo, the owner of the bodega on my corner, spoke softly.
"I'm not going back," I said impulsively.
"You don't have any other place to go," Alfredo answered.
He smelled of garlic and tobacco. He put his hand on my shoulder, and I turned away.
"Try not to stay out too late. In any case, we'll wait up for you."
As the cars rolled away, I saw the mourners' faces against the glass windows. I knew they would understand how I felt. They would think about me and Maria as they drove the 6 miles back to our little section of El Barrio. And I knew they would save my place.